This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hello everyone and welcome to Happy Migrants. We are here today with Christian. Christian, he is from Argentina and he will share with us his story. Welcome, Christian. Hello, Christian.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you very much to be here with me today. It's much appreciated.
Thanks to you too for having me here. That's an interesting situation.
It's a very interesting situation, always. So tell me, you are from?
Argentina.
From Argentina.
Yeah,
it's far away.
Yeah, it's quite a long trip. I will not swim that way.
And you are now living in New Zealand.
Yes, arrived almost 5 years ago. Living in Queenstown for the last almost 5 years.
You arrived to Queenstown and you start living there. You was not living in other places.
I arrived into New Zealand. I did some job interviews across New Zealand, but I ended living in Queenstown since the first week or something like that.
All right. And you was trying to find a job before coming to New Zealand, or you started doing your search?
I started to do the search beforehand. That was very useful. So before arriving, I sent emails to different companies. I was checking the ads on TradeMe. That was a little tricky because you cannot, or at least at that point in time, you were not allowed to create a TradeMe account from overseas. So I reckon I had like I requested them I told them the reasons behind why I wanted a TradeMe account, so they allowed me to create a TradeMe account, but I was not allowed to sell anything or something else. There were restrictions on my account.
But
so
you were able to have one to contact people.
And then after arriving, when I got a New Zealand phone number, I was required to call them to certify I was a real person and so on, and they finished the setup of my account.
Actually, it's interesting.
That was an interesting I forget about that until now.
But just before, like coming back still to you living in Argentina, tell me how, when you decided that you will be moving to New Zealand, it took you a long time to take decision, to make preparations. New Zealand was the only country that you were thinking about, or maybe?
It was an interesting point in time, because I have family. So at that point in time, I already had two tiny young kids. And I was not thinking about moving countries. It always has been something on the back of my head. I remember being in high school, wondering about traveling and living in other countries, but it never became a serious thing. But when I was 32 or something like that, a friend of mine told me, "I'm moving to New Zealand." And I was like, "Why? How that's possible? Why you are going?" And he told me the reasons and so on. And then he told me that he was able to get a working holiday. And I was like, "Oh, I should try that." So I prepared myself for a year trying to improve my English. That's not good enough, or at least I think it's good enough. Thing is, I invested on learning English. I applied for the working holiday, and I was lucky enough to get one. So after
how many people they have? What is the quota for Argentina?
For Argentina at that point in time was 1,000
for
visas.
Polish people there's 100.
Wow. Yeah, actually there is something going on there. For Argentina they have a large quota when you compare with other countries, and also there's another difference. I don't know the current rules, but at that point in time, for regular working holidays, you have an age limit of 30 years. Mm-hmm. And for New Zealand and Argentina, you have 30 years as the limit. So, and that's the reason I was allowed to apply for one, because I was already over 30 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after a year, I got the visa and I jumped into a plane and came here. Of course, I was a tough time because I left the family there.
Yes.
As with a working holiday, you can only be by yourself.
Yes.
So that was a big time.
Yeah, I can understand it was difficult.
Yes. I was not here with the intention of spending the full year. I took the working holiday option to come into New Zealand, check how it is for a couple of months and see what's all about.
Will be a country that...
Correct. That will be good for my family. Yes. and my future. I spent a lot of time before actually being in New Zealand. And that proven to be very useful, because after my arrival, I already had interviews waiting for me. That was very, very good. I felt a little bit better with myself, because you always think like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough and so on, and all those fears you have, and that preparation I had, it made me feel better. And the fact that I arrived and already had interviews, that was very, very useful for my peace of mind.
Yes. And it's important to note that as a developer, you have profession that people in here are in need of people like you.
Yeah, correct.
So like I can imagine that the interviews that you was having, you was happy on your side, but potential employers, they were also happy to have someone that can interview you and then can help them.
No, that's good, that's good.
And you finish by having job.
Yes, after a couple of weeks, I got a job offer in Queensland. At that point in time, I had long-term friends living there. They welcomed me. They helped me a lot, and that's the reason I stayed since the first days in Queensland. I got a job offer there. I had friends there, and
of
I said,
course,
"This is the place," and I stay.
And it's a beautiful place as well.
It is amazing.
So it's not difficult to decide to stay there.
Totally.
So the friends that you have in Queenstown, it's the friends from Argentina that told you one time, I'm going to New Zealand?
Correct. They departed now from Queenstown maybe a couple of years ago. So they were living nearby for the first years I was in New Zealand with the family already. But after some time, you realize that Queenstown is a place, in general, is a place where you stay some years, and sadly, you realize that eventually you need to move.
It's actually a very sad situation for Queenstown, I think, because generally speaking, for long term, it's good for Queenstown that professionals stay in there.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that at this point, it's just easier to go other place.
It's too hard to stay there for a long period. It's an amazing place, it's either or you are in your mid-20s trying to do the most of your day and night, or you are now in maybe another social position where you, or economic position where you can maybe afford an expensive house there, and you might be the owner of a business, or you have a career that pays a lot, yes, it's an amazing place. But
it's
if you are,
it also depends of the profession.
Absolutely.
And there is not much big companies in there.
Correct.
For what we are doing, and I definitely understand.
Yeah. There is not much options there for IT. It's sad.
Yeah, but maybe good news. Maybe we'll have you here.
Yes, soon. Yes. That's the reason I'm for a couple of days in Christchurch. I came to check
to prospect to
see what's going on and. It's easy to understand why people choose to live in Christchurch. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, it actually really is. Yeah. I'm new to the town, but love it. And so your family was still in Argentina when you was looking for job and you find a job, but finally you managed to bring all your family in here?
Yes. When I arrived, I went through a couple of interviews and then I got a job offer. The first thing I had a discussion with them is like, okay, you are gonna be testing me for a couple of months. I'm allowed to work here and so on. So it was very easy for them to test me without any hassle. The idea was to, okay, if I'm good enough or if I help your purpose, I was expecting from them to get a sponsorship, and they did that, and I worked for that company for 3 years or something like that.
Oh, right.
It was good. So I was able to bring the family after, I reckon, took us something around the 6 months point. Yeah.
Very good.
So
yes.
It was a harsh time, but totally worth it. Yeah.
It's good. I can understand that your wife far away with small kids, it was not an easy situation.
Yeah, she put all the weight. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing job how you manage that in very timely manner, and all family is now here.
Cheers.
So it's a very nice happy ending. And tell me, so we know a little bit what you are, how. What is your work, and you live in Queenstown, so I suppose outdoors activities, it's something that you enjoy. I hear about kayak and going, but I hear also that you enjoy speaking, and you do speak a little on YouTube.
I can't tell that I enjoy it, but as you know, we spend too much time in coding and in the computer and so on.
Computer do not talk much.
Yes, and a lot of times the reason we choose computers and so on is because we feel better having control over what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are speaking with others, you might not have that control anymore. So it's a thing that scares us. So we are afraid. At least I feel very afraid to be here speaking. So maybe
pretty well.
Cheers. I have been practicing. And so a year ago, I started to take videos of myself. And actually, because someone in the office told me, but if you want to improve speaking skills, just take videos of yourself. And well, actually, that's a good idea. And I started to do it. The first ones were awful. I sent the videos to my friends, and they were like, this is not good. Please don't share that. But yeah, after some trial and error, now since 4 months ago, 4 months ago, I created a YouTube channel where I'm sharing maybe one video a month, where I speak on Spanish about technical related things, but more from a human perspective, like, okay, if you are in a job interview, how you might want to behave or what you should expect from one and what people might want from you.
When you say technical, it's related to IT only, or it's wider?
It's related to, it's directed to IT people, but it's a little bit wider. It's not a technical talk. It's not about, okay, if you are coding this or that, you should do mm-hmm. that. It's about a little bit of our human side in the industry. Yeah.
Right. I think it's interesting. So you say for a moment it's in Spanish only.
Yes, because I feel that if I want to learn how to speak with people, maybe it's easier for my brain to do it in Spanish. And mm-hmm. once I lose that fear of public speaking, maybe I will be able to switch over and improve my English and so
then
on.
Then you will add one more difficulty to deal with accent
yes.
and foreign language.
Yes,
I understand what you mean. And how it's called, your YouTube channel?
I call it Voctopus. It's
all
just
right.
Yes, the V, because Vervos is about speaking and mm-hmm. sharing a lot, and Octopus because it's a lot of branches.
Very good. And we will share the Cheers. Links and bring more people.
Thank you.
And why, so we are saying that it's really the fear of speaking that make you start doing those videos. Do you think that it's other skills that you want to learn?
Yeah, I reckon that we are living in a social way, and speaking and communicating is core to understand each other.
It's a powerful tool.
It's a powerful tool, and I from my point of view, is a skill that we should develop to become a better society. But also, if you don't care about society, regardless of that, you should do it for your job and for your your inner requirements. If you want to be successful in a job, you need to be able to communicate what you want or what you expect, or just the very basic of work.
What I think from my experience, I am not a native English speaker, and my question is, how you manage now the conversation at work or with different people in foreign language? It is something that comes easy for you, or do you think that it's make your ability to speak, to communicate much more difficult? Your videos are in Spanish, so it's only about the ability to speak, to pass the message. But how it is working in English now for you? Do you think that it's something that it's difficult? Do you think that it is very different from how you behave in Spanish, how you speak in Spanish?
What I'm feeling now after some months of trying this is that it's helping me, regardless that I'm doing it on Spanish. I already feel that I'm a little bit better and a little bit less afraid of speaking with others.
Mm-hmm.
So I already can see the positive effect on that, regardless I'm doing it, I'm training on another language. But the very fact that we need to be communicating in another language, you very well know that we have this buffer time when people are asking us questions or they are talking to us. Regardless, we have been living in New Zealand and speaking English for many years now, and we don't need to do that translation we mm-hmm. might have been doing at the beginning. There is anyway a slight period of time there in the answer. And I recall a guy that used to work with me, that at some point he was listening me speaking in Spanish by the phone, and when I hung up, he looked at me and said, "Please don't get offended, but now listen to you speaking fast on Spanish, I only now I saw your real speed."
Mm.
It was for sorry to say that for a moment I just realized that you actually are not slow. And he was like afraid of saying that, but that makes sense when we speak. At least when I speak English, I talk in a slower pace, and my answers will be a little bit slower because I'm taking care of not the translation side, but trying to find the correct words and, yes, and try to get the message on the other side. And in your native language, would be just
natural. Just a flow that goes.
So there is a slowness that happens there, and some people might take that as something that's not right with you. Why you are so slow?
I think a lot of foreign people have very similar experiences. And I understand that it's difficult, even pronunciation. I know myself, I have a very strong accent.
Yeah.
And if I start speaking quickly, people are just losing.
Yes.
They do not know where one sentence starts. They do not know if I speak still English or if I switch to another language. So these are definitely more difficulty. And one more question, so this is your experience, and your wife, I imagine, it's the same.
Yes.
But your kids, they arrived here when they was very young.
Yes.
And how they deal now with English?
That was some very interesting process. My girl was almost 5 years when she arrived, and so she had a strong, Spanish base, and so she went to kindergarten. And she was not having any interactions with any other kids. And teachers told me that, don't worry, that's okay. In a couple of months, she will just start to speak English. And we were like, really? And they were very accommodating. That's amazing. And they were absolutely right. After some months, she just started to speak with peers and socialize. For the boy, he was younger, so he learned a lot of his first words were already on English because when he turned three, he started the kindergarten, I don't recall the name. Thing is, now at home, when they speak to each other, they might do 80% of the chat in English.
Between them.
And what I have realized that I want to keep Spanish going there. Thing is, when mostly the boy that has a lot of his wording already learned in English, when he comes and asks, why the fridge works or why this, he's asking questions. He's eager to learn things. At that point in time, I need to choose. Okay, if I answer in Spanish, he will not understand because I know what he knows, what are his language skills. So I need to sadly sometimes choose to answer in English, so he will get the information he asks for. He wants to know why the fridge works.
Yes.
And I need to provide him with the answer. If I tell the answer in Spanish, I will be teaching him Spanish and not what he asks. It's a very fine line there between keeping the language and encouraging him to learn what he wants to learn.
So this is a very interesting point, yes. But generally speaking, at home you speak Spanish. You try to keep language and culture.
Yeah. With my wife is 100% Spanish, but with this
caveat. In some cases, you prefer switch to English.
Yes. Sadly, sometimes I will mix Spanish and English to make a point so they will understand the point easily. And then if they are keen enough, I will say it on Spanish and English. So they get the hear training.
Yeah. Yes, very interesting. Actually, I was never thinking about this kind of problems that you could have in speaking. And yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, thank you very much, Christian. On this, we can on these language-related problems that are very common to not only two of us.
Cheers. But,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. All the best for your YouTube videos and learning new skills. And we hope you start doing that in English to share for wider.
I will give it a try, certainly.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Pedro.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time and all the best.
Cheers.
And hopefully see you soon here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. We will be online next month on first Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Plains FM. And until then, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/happymigrants. Thank you very much and see you next time.